Good morning and welcome to the best Sunday ever. I'm glad that you're here. I want to, along with Reed, encourage you to come back to after our third service. There's a lot of activities that we're going to have here, a lot of things for your children, but also for adults. And hopefully you enjoy the conversation, some incredible food. Did you smell it coming in? So we hope that you come back. And if you are watching online and you live in the area, we want to encourage you to attend any one of our five campuses after their second service or third service. And we hope that you join us and join us for food, whether it's Tunkhannock or Halstead or Montrose or Vestal or here in Conklin. We would love to have you come back. We are doing something in Conklin, which is kind of fun. If you walked in and you noticed that there's a big jar filled with Legos, that we're asking you to try to guess how many Legos are in that big jug. And so hopefully you'll do that on the way out. What we're going to do is at the end of the third service, while we're all still together, the third service, we're going to announce who won that. And I think for those who are online, we're doing the same thing for you. I think Pastor Andrew has put on a picture online that you can look at and try to guess online. And maybe we should have separate prizes for those who are here and those who are online. But please be a part of our Lego day. So this is kind of fun. So today we're going to talk about the comparison trap. And for some of you, this may not be relevant, but I doubt it. I think it's relevant for all of us. At different times in my life, in different seasons of my life, I think we have a tendency to begin to look to our left and look to our right and try to evaluate how other people are doing. And then we, based upon their success and based upon their failures, sometimes we judge our own success or our own failures based upon what other people are doing. And so we get into this trap of comparing degrees and houses and cars and possessions and all kinds of stuff. But I want you to know that when we live in this life of comparison, it is a trap because it's an unwinnable game. Because no matter how well you do in life, no matter what you're able to accomplish in life, there are times that we will come across someone who's actually done a little bit more or has a little bit more. Andy Stanley calls it this: we live in the land of Ur. And I love the way he says that. We live in the land of Ur. The land of Ur is this: it's where we want something that's bigger. We want to be taller. We want to be richer. We want to be happier. We just want more Ur in life. So as we walk through life, instead of being content in who God created us to be, instead of enjoying the blessings that God has given us, instead we walk through life and say, everything's perfectly fine, but we spend so much time looking to our left and looking to our right and evaluating our value, our success, and even our failure based upon what other people do. Let me tell you this, if you live in the land of Ur, if that is your tendency, and since we have a sin nature, it's part of human nature that we live in the land of Ur. But if we live in the land of Ur, here's the bottom line. I think you will have difficulty finding satisfaction, contentment, and happiness in this life. Because no matter what you're able to attain, no matter what you're able to achieve, you're still going to have that tendency to have your head on a swivel where you look back and forth and to see how you're doing. See, we try to disguise our comments that we're living in the land of Ur. But have you ever had a conversation with somebody that goes something like this? Oh, we're so happy that our daughter, little Mary, graduated 9th in her class. We're so proud of her. That's great. We're very proud that Bobby graduated 3rd in his class. Or, man, we're excited. Our kids got accepted into Binghamton University. What a good school. It's a great school. Oh, that's great. We would have went to Binghamton University, too, my kids, if they didn't get into Cornell. You see, we disguise the way that we live in the land of Ur, and what we're saying as we evaluate other people is this. We subtly, sometimes and not so subtly, communicate this. My kids are smarter than your kids. But I want you to know this, that as you live life, other people are living in the land of Ur as well. And there's a lot of kids out there who have better grades, a lot of kids who go to more prestigious schools. And what they're saying in their mind is this: your kids are dumber than my kids. I want you to know that when we live in the land of Ur, We will never find contentment. We will never find satisfaction because we will always find someone who has more than us. I believe that's why so many people walk through life and they're really not happy. There's some people I would even say that are absolutely miserable as they live life. They have a roof over their head. They have food to eat. They have clothes on their back. They have a job. They have a car that works. They have cable television. They go out to eat 3 or 4 times a week. And yet, somehow, they find no satisfaction in it. We become anxious. We become angry. We lack contentment. And like I said, some of us become miserable. I want you to know this. The first point today is this. There is no win. There is absolutely no win in comparison. Last week when I was watching my New York Giants, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for your support. I was in the fetal position the game started at 4:15. By about 5 o'clock, I was in the fetal position. But when they were playing the Cowboys, it didn't take very long to realize, we're not going to win this game. But I want you to know, some of you in your life, you're playing a game that I want you to know you will never win. There's no finish line when it comes to the game of comparison. There's never a finish line because you will always find someone in life who has more. I just got a new truck a couple months ago. Love my new truck. We took 2 of our vehicles, went down to this one, and the truck I had was like, I had like bench press the back of the truck to get the tailgate to come up and to come down. Yeah. I get some of you guys who have trucks, you know what I'm talking about, right? At some point, they just get worn out. This truck was worn out. And so it was time to get a new vehicle. So I got a new vehicle, and they have all these different options. And the one option I really like is because the tailgate, I got tired of bench pressing the truck to get the tailgate to come down. And it was embarrassing when you were with other people. So I got a truck that if you push a button in the cab or on my key fob, the tailgate just goes, so it goes down by itself. And listen to me, not that I'm like taking a lot of satisfaction in that, but I make sure that I show everybody else who has a truck that doesn't have that feature. Man, I've won the game. I'm in the land of and I've won. Until I watched the commercial. Yeah, I don't have the extra step. That's right, I don't have the step. But I was watching the commercial with my wife, and they pushed the button and it went down. I was like, I have that on my truck. And then they pushed another button and went back up. I looked at my wife and I said, did you see that? And she said to me, in the only way that she could say it, no. You're not getting another truck. There always seems to be something in life that is bigger, better, newer, faster, shinier. And that's why this race of comparison is unwinnable. Not only is it unwinnable, it can be dangerous. Because there are times that people, as you look to the left and to the right, as you look at people, and you see what they have, before you know it, you think in your mind, I deserve that. I need that as well. And so you go out, what do? We do the American dream. We take our credit cards. And we buy things we can't afford to impress people we don't like. And so many Americans are so deep in debt because they want more. Think about living in the land of and what it does to your children. Oh, does that hit home? As you look at your child, instead of having them become what God wants them to be, God has wired them a certain way, and you're saying, that's awesome. We celebrate the way God has wired you. But what do? To our kids, we try to pigeonhole them, and we say things like this. Why can't you be like them? Why can't you be more like them on the athletic field or in the classroom? Why can't you have friends like they have friends? Why? And we destroy their self-worth. Why? Because we're living as parents in the land of Ur. Do you know the Bible talks about this? About the whole comparison thing? If you have a copy of the scripture with you, I'm going to ask you to open it to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's in the Old Testament. And what's exciting about Ecclesiastes, even if you're not into the whole church thing, like, and I get that, but even if you're not into the whole church deal, Ecclesiastes is a wonderful book because it talks so much about practical areas of life, areas where we struggle, areas where we lack contentment. They look at human nature. And so Solomon is the author of this, and Solomon's the one who, as he wrote this, he was probably the richest. He was the richest guy at time. People consider him the wisest man of all time at that period. And so people would go to him and ask for advice. And so as they went to him and asked for this advice, Solomon made these observations. And so here's the first observation that Solomon makes in Ecclesiastes 4:4. And I saw all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. All toil and all achievements spring from a person's envy of somebody else. It's because we're looking to our left and we're looking to our right, and there's people who go through life and absolutely make themselves sometimes miserable as they're trying to strive after something. They're trying to achieve something based upon looking at people who they know, people who are in their network, people who are in their community. We put these unrealistic expectations on our spouses, on our children, on our friends, on people at work. Why? Because we want to achieve something based upon what other people have done. And I saw that all toil and all achievements spring from one person's envy of another. And it says this, "This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind." Ecclesiastes 1:9 says this, "There's nothing new under the sun." From the beginning of time, we have been living in the land of Ur. You think about Adam and Eve, and they had these children, but they had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were responsible to bring sacrifices to God, and as they brought their sacrifices to God, one of the brothers did a great job. Abel gave this great sacrifice to God. Cain brought something, and he kind of threw something at God and said, "Here you go." And God wasn't pleased at what Cain did. And Cain got upset. And the guy's like, "Why are you getting upset? I'm just telling you it's not a great sacrifice that you're giving me." Don't blame Abel for what he's done, but Cain couldn't help himself from looking to the left and keep looking at his brother and going, "You made me look bad. I want more Ur than you have." And so instead of improving himself, what he did was based upon comparing himself to his brother. You know what he did? First murder in the Bible. He said, "I'm going to take out the competition," and he killed his brother. Because they were living in the land of Ur, and Cain couldn't take it. He toiled, he strove, he tried to accomplish things. And he said, "Whoa, it's not based upon what God wants from me, it's based upon what other people are doing. And instead of just pleasing God, what I'm doing is comparing myself to him. And so I got to eliminate the competition," and he killed him. It sounds crazy. Could you imagine if we based our value on who other people are and what other people were accomplishing in life? It'd be like running a 5K race in quicksand. You know why? Because you're churning and you're moving and you're trying to catch up to people ahead of you, and you feel like you're never making up ground anytime, anyplace, anywhere. You're just working harder and harder, and it feels like you're getting farther and farther behind. My daughter ran cross country, and I was one of those psycho dads that I thought was like a football game, and so I chased her all over the course. And I would yell at her, "Yeah!" And I'd come out of the woods. She said, "I scare her sometimes. You know, she's running through the woods. I'd pop out of the woods, 'Oh, you can do it!'" And so, as she's running, I would always yell at her the same thing. "Reel her in. Reel her in." My daughter did really well across country, but it's not like she was in first place, right? And so even if she took third place, there were still two people ahead of her. And as she ran the race, I kept yelling the same thing, "Reel her in," which meant I want you to catch the person in front of you. Go get her. And no matter where she was, I kept saying, "Go get her. Go get the next one. Go get the next one." And in life, It feels like when we go through life in different areas, whether it's through achievement, whether it's academics, whether it's things that we own, there's times that when we get what we have, we achieve certain things, there's always someone else who has more and we're looking at them and going, I need to reel them in. And I want you to know, you will never win the race of comparison because you will always have someone before you has more in something. It's meaningless and it's chasing after the wind. Could you imagine after this, I said, okay, we're all going around the parking lot. I want you to take your hands, all of you, and we're going to go catch the wind, okay? Let's do it together. And you see a bunch of weirdos running around the parking lot. We would look insane. People would be driving by. What is wrong with that church as they see people going, I knew it was a cult. I knew it. Thank you. I'm going to wait till that ends. That's awesome. Cheer me on. I appreciate it. So listen to me. But sometimes that's the way we run through life. Oh, we may not be visibly running around doing this, but in our hearts and in our minds are grasping after the wind, trying to find something that we can never attain based upon the world standard. So some of you are going to be critically thinking and say this. So what are we not supposed to try to do anything? What are we not supposed to work hard? We're not trying to get better? Oh, Solomon, being the wisest person, kind of answered that question for you, because in the very next verse, this is what Solomon says. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. So he's going off the place and saying, okay, so there's people who toil and they try to achieve things based upon what other people have done. But you know what fools do? Well, that's meaningless. You know what foolish is? Foolish is not trying anything. Foolishness is saying, I'm going to try to find contentment. I'm going to try to find contentment in not doing anything. I'm going to try to find happiness by sticking my head in the sand and pretending like everything's okay. He says, that's foolishness. There's a big difference between trying to keep up with the Joneses in life and trying to become everything that God has wired you to be. Flourishing in the way that God has called you to flourish. It's not becoming what other people are. It's becoming what God has created you to be. I'm thankful that we are all different. I'm thankful that God makes us unique. And there are times that as we look to the left or to the right, we find value in what they're doing, and we miss out on the mission that God has called us to. I want you to know that we're missing out when we base our value and we base our on other people. It's foolishness. But it's just as much foolishness to walk through life and say this, you know what, it's just too hard. So we fold our hands like a fool and we try nothing. We do nothing in life. We will never become what God wants us to be if we're living in the land of trying to chase the wind, and we'll never become what God wants us to be if we're foolish enough to fold our hands and to quit. So there's a balance. He goes on and says this in verse 6. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. I know you're not this way, but there's other people in this life who are running through life and they're trying to get as much as they can get. Whatever it is. Whatever your thing is, they're trying to get as much as they can, whether it's awards, whether it's the praise of other people, whether it's possessions, whatever it is, we want more. Marketing is based upon wanting more, right? Marketing is based upon looking at other people and saying, you don't have what they have, and you need it. And so people go through life, and they start gathering as much stuff as they can in life, and they see these people walking around with their hands full. Things are dropping off along the way, and they're just trying to like, hey, can you pick that up for me, please? And they're walking through life, and yet they're not satisfied. They're not happy. They're not content, but we have more stuff than any other generation before us, but we're still not happy. Better is one handful with tranquility. Better is one handful with peace. Better is one handful with joy than having two handfuls that are walking around life, toiling, struggling, thinking, who's going to steal my stuff? Who's going to take it? Is this going to rot? What's it going to be worth? And we get all bent out of shape over stuff. people climb the corporate ladders. They get great jobs, they make more money, they get promotions, and then their families fall apart. Oh, I got more. But your homes are a battlefield. There's adversity and tension and difficulty in your home. Oh, but you got more. People who have things, they go on trips, they spend all kinds of money. They spend money they don't have. They go into debt, they use their credit cards. Look what I've got. And they show it off like it's some huge, amazing, shiny piece of something that's great. However, every month on the 30th or the 31st, they're going, I'm not sure if we're going to make it. And they can barely breathe financially, but they've got more. I think about what we do with our kids. I'm telling you what, parents, we put so much pressure on our kids to be something other than God's called them to be. You see it, just go to a Little League game if you think I'm lying. I went to a Little League, my grandson was playing a Little League game, and I saw this parent screaming at a six-year-old because they weren't running from first base to second base the right way. Hey, Dad, who cares? You're 6 years old. Let them have fun, right? Oh, you got to do it like, why can't you be like Bobby? Bobby hits it, runs from first to second successfully. Why can't you do that? Why aren't you getting invited to the parties? I heard that they're going to the party. Why didn't you get invited? And we start putting this pressure on our kids, and we damage our self-worth, and we damage our voice in their lives. I want you to know that living in this game of comparison is an unwinnable game. So Solomon stops and talks about something that's even more valuable. He goes this, and again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. Verse 8, there was a man who was all alone. Back then in the culture, having family, big families, lots of stuff, passing on your inheritance to other people, making sure they have what they need, passing on wealth, all this stuff was really important. But Solomon looked at this man who was all alone. He had neither son nor brother, but there was no end to his toil. I can almost see, I don't have time for this stuff. There's new worlds to conquer. There's more money to make. I got things to do. I'm going to work all the overtime I can get. And you see somebody driving and driving and driving for more, just toiling after those things. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. His bank accounts kept getting bigger. His retirement account was awesome. He put new additions on his house. He had everything that the world said was important. And yet, he wasn't content with what he had. Do you know people? Maybe you're that person who walks through life and puts such a priority on things that really don't matter for eternity. Oh man, you're working overtime. You shop at Aldi's. You invest well. But one day, the man just stepped back and he said this. Next screen. For whom am I toiling? Why am I killing myself? What is the point of what I'm doing? Why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? I have everything I want, humanly speaking. I've got the home. I got the bank accounts. I have the cars. I have everything I need. But why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? And who am I going to leave it to? This guy had worked his life that he had nobody with him. He attained everything the world said was important. And he sat back at the end of it and said, so what? I don't have anybody to give it to. He says this, this too is meaningless. It's a miserable. Listen to that word. It's a miserable business. There's no win in comparison. You will never win if you're living in the land of Ur. There will never be a finish line for you. because someone will always have more error. So here's my question. As we go down through this, can we concede the fact that there's no win in comparison? Can we concede that fact? That if we live life looking to our left and right, we're always going to find somebody who has more error than us. And so therefore, there's no finish line. Can we agree on that? And if we agree on that, then the second point is this. Where's my reference point for success? As you're going through life, and if you're playing the game looking to the left and to the right, who are you looking at? Who are the people that you're looking to say, these are the places that I value what they have, and I'm basing my success based upon what they have or what they don't have. I'm finding success or failure based upon other people. What are you basing it upon? Before we leave today, I want to ask you 5 questions. Are you exhausted from trying to keep up with somebody? You put the name in there. Some of you go to a family get-together, and you dread Thanksgiving. Because you know when you spend time at Thanksgiving with families, you've got to always hear about the achievements of your siblings and their kids. And frankly, it gets really old. And it's exhausting. And you feel like when you walk away from them, you almost feel a little depressed. Because you feel like somehow your life isn't measuring up to their life. I have a friend. Every time we get together, we don't live in the same state. He wants to know how much I have in my retirement account. He really does. Why? Does he really care? No, he wants to see if he's doing better than me. Living in the land of Ur. And there are times that when we walk through life, we get exhausted. We almost become depressed because as we talk to other people, we just feel like we're not keeping up. And so we work harder. We do more overtime. We push our kids a little harder. We fix up our house a little bit more. We buy furniture we can't afford because we're trying to keep up. Secondly, are you broke from trying to keep up? We've talked about the credit card thing. But they want a vacation to Disneyland, and your wife or husband push you and say, why can't we do that? They got a new vehicle. Why can't we get a new vehicle? They take their kids to piano lessons and all kinds of lessons. Why can't we do that? And before you know it, we walk down this road where we keep spending more and more and more. And some of us are financially broke because we're trying to keep up. So what are you measuring? Like, what are you broke? Who are you following? What are you watching? That you've gone so far into debt to try to achieve something. Third, are you allowing what others have to keep you from enjoying what you have? Years ago, I bought a 55-inch screen TV. Ooh, okay, it was nice. Like, I started, okay, I'm going to date myself, but, like, it was a big investment. We got a 25-inch console TV. Remember 25-inch TVs? They were, like, the size of your living room. They were huge. They took up a whole wall. And they're this big. Oh, like, that was, like, successful, the 25-inch console TV. I thought it was great. Now I have a 55-inch flat-screen, high-definition TV. And, man, I was happy with the blessings of God because he gave it to me, right? Thank you, God. Until I went to somebody's house and they had a 65-inch screen TV. And I have to be honest with you, I was a little disappointed. Like, I sat there and said, you know what? Like, God? Like, I've been faithful. I'm a good guy. I deserve 65. We have things that work. We really do. We have things that we've been blessed with. And somehow we forget to enjoy the blessings of God because we see what other people have and somehow it doesn't measure up and we get disappointed with life. Have you allowed other people to steal your blessing, your joy, the goodness of God? What I do as a pastor is horrible. Worst thing I can do is go to these conferences. Because I go to conferences and they actually have good preachers, right? So I go. And I sit there and listen to these guys preach. And I'm like in the fetal position when it's all over. Like, I really am. I'm not kidding you. I'm sitting there going, why can't I preach like that? You know what churches, we compare churches. We compare our churches and the size of the church. What that? Like, why can't I have that? takes me about a week after a conference to get out of the fetal position. And there are times I have to come back to the place of, I need to get better at what I do, but I am who God called me to be. And when you see life change, it's not you, it's God. And we come here as broken and empty vessels, and all we say to God is this, just use me. I don't need to be like anybody else. I need to be the way God wired me to be and serve in the way that God has called me to serve. And even pastors can get in this game of and I want to be a better something than that guy. Now, you know what I need to be? I just need to be faithful. I need to have God use me for who I am. Are you allowing what others have to keep you from enjoying what you have? Fourth, do you enjoy your kids? Or are you driving them crazy because of what everybody else's kids are accomplishing? Parents, don't ever look at your kid and say, why can't you be like them? Challenge your kids to be everything that God has wired them to be. The last question, and some of you may go, oh, we don't do this. Who would you secretly enjoy seeing fail? Oh, we would never do that, right? Never. We would never do that. You have that mom at the PTA meetings, at the games, who always talks about, well, my husband just got a raise. He's buying me a new car. And we're going on a trip to Florida, and they talk about all this great thing. And then, you know, there's like, you just kind of hate her. Like, let's be honest, like, I don't like her. When you see her coming, you turn the other way and go somewhere else. And then what happens when you hear that maybe their marriage is in trouble? Oh, the perfect little life is falling apart. How about when someone's kid, they talk about their kids like they're God's gift to humanity? And ever since they've been three, they're the best of everything. They're the greatest. They're the best. I wish all kids were like my kids. And all of a sudden, they get into high school or college, and they make a mistake. And you sit back and go, how's your perfect little Bobby now? See, why do we take joy in the fact that people who believe they have a wrinkle-free life all of a sudden become aware of the fact that their life isn't wrinkle-free? I want you to know this. There is absolutely no win in comparison. If you're living in the land of I can't imagine that you will find contentment, satisfaction, or happiness by living in that land. There's no way that we can love like God has called us to love and live like God has called us to live when we're always chasing after the wind and grasping for something else. Can we challenge each other? Can we challenge each other to live purposefully, to live with intentionality in our lives, to be used of God as He's called us to be used, and walk away agreeing this? We got to agree with this point. There is absolutely no win. There's no win when it comes to comparison. And if you're living in the land of I'm challenging you and I'm exhorting you. You're living the wrong kind of life. Father, I thank you for how practical your word is. In different ways, it's got to be address us in some of the things that we struggle with. And I know we go through seasons of life where sometimes we do better than others. But at one point or another, I think all of us have struggled with this concept of living in the land of God, whatever the application is, I pray that we would take the challenge, that we would live life in a way that's pleasing to you. We would admit the downfall, and we realize this life of comparison is a result or the consequence of sin. We want to confess our sin, and you've promised us that you'd be faithful, and you forgive us of our sin, and you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we trust you to do that, but help us Help us to find the joy and the peace and the abundant life that you called us to. We ask in your Son's name. Amen.